Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I got years and years of practice living this life I lead. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. And I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. I don't want no amateurs ending up like me.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Homeowner's Friend Podcast. I'm Steve, your host, on a nice rainy day here in Connecticut, driving into work. Today we have two questions that came in on email. The first one to talk about pickup trucks briefly, and the second one a little bit on air conditioning. Should be a relatively short show. Before we get into those, though, I want to quickly do the housekeeping as usual. Steve at HOFpodcast.com is the email. HOFpodcast.com, of course, is the website where you can get all 120 or so shows if you go back and keep hitting the older button. And, of course, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/homepodcast. You can get to us there. Hit the like button, become a fan, and get updates when we have new shows and things like that put out there. Also, the Amazon has actually shut down the the tool store that I had with them because they've severed all contracts with affiliates in the state of Connecticut. And the reason is because by having affiliates like myself who profit from Amazon's business, the state has declared that they are now that they now have a presence in the state and have to pay sales tax on all their purchases. And of course, Amazon doesn't want to do that. So they've decided to kill all their affiliates in the state and in a couple other states. I think New York and I think one other state. I think it was New York. Anyway, another couple states did this as well. So they're not doing affiliate programs in those states anymore, which is really a shame because it hurts some of the small businesses within those states. But then you know there's not many states that are very business friendly anyway, and it's the most business unfriendly states that are actually doing this. So that's why we don't have the tool store anymore. It's gone. So I won't be plugging that anymore. Not that I never really made much money off it anyway, but it was kind of a neat. It was kind of neat anyway that Amazon actually did that. It was almost nice of them to help out small folk like myself. But anyway, nonetheless, moving right along. So the first question I got in on email. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't have this verbatim. But basically, the guy was asking me if you know he's contemplating buying a pickup truck, and he doesn't know which one to buy. Blah blah blah. But you know he also kind of explained what he was going to use it for, and you know I'm coming to the conclusion that the guy doesn't really need a pickup truck. He's a weekend warrior like many of us. He does little projects on the weekends, and not every weekend. You know, maybe he does one project a month is what he was saying. He doesn't use it a lot, but he says there is a lot of instances where he needs to haul, some sheetrock or a piece of plywood or a little bit of whatever. And he said, you know, the pickup truck would certainly be handy. He's driving actually right now a Subaru wagon, which he loves, but it doesn't have enough room for plywood in the back. He says it doesn't really have enough room to carry that kind of thing, and it's always a pain. He can tie it on the roof, he said, but it's not good. It's a pain. It's not very practical, and he can't take much either. Sometimes he needs to take a lot. He wanted me to give him advice whether he should buy like a smaller pickup truck or a bigger pickup truck or what he should buy. And you know, the advice I'm going to give him, and I actually already gave to him on the email, is maybe he doesn't even need a pickup truck at all. You know, maybe what he needs, quite simply, is a little trailer for his car. You could pick up a trailer for, you know, a nice little utility trailer for, you know, a few hundred bucks. Or even, you know, I'm new, you can get them for $300-$500. You can get a used one for even less than that. And, frankly, you know, a trailer has a lot of advantages. One is, you don't use it every day. So, you don't have to drive around a pickup truck every day. And we all know how much gas costs these days. And I'm willing to bet that this guy's Subaru, in most every car that everybody drives, is going to get much better fuel economy than any pickup truck. So that's, pickup trucks are going to be in the teens you know, for the most part. You might get one that gets, you know, low 20s, but most pickup trucks are going to be in the teens, especially if you're doing a lot of around town driving. So that's certainly a lot less than a Subaru that's probably going to be closer to 30, or many other cars that are in the 30s or even 40 miles per gallon. So that's one thing. You're going to save a lot on fuel and on maintenance and things like that, because a car is also cheaper to fix than a pickup truck typically. And you know, the second thing is a car is typically more comfortable, you know, for driving every day than a pickup truck is. Not always. Some pickup trucks are very nice. I had one that was very nice. The Ford F-250 was a beautiful truck. But frankly, you know, for commuting, it's a lot easier in a car. It's smaller, more nimble. Again, better fuel economy, cheaper to run, all that kind of stuff. And with a trailer, you know, when you do need it, you can hook it up to the old car, and you can go to, you know, the home center or whatever, get what you want, and you come home and you unhook it, and you're back to being a car again. Trailers, you know, I would advise getting a pretty decent one. I wouldn't get one. You know, they have these, like, really cheap ones you can buy at, you know, I mean, Kmart used to sell them or whatever. You know, these fold-up things, and they're really cheap, very low capacity. But the one I picked up, I have a trailer currently, and I've had one for about the last 10 years, and I'll tell you, it was one of the best things I ever purchased. And I even used it when I had my pickup truck. It was lower, and it was just easier to work with sometimes moving certain things. And also, I could use the trailer and the truck and carry twice as much. But generally, I only had the truck for several years. I've had cars most of the time, and I've always used the trailer. And my little trailer I picked up is a really nice little one. It has it's 4x8, which is of course a good size because it can take a full sheet of plywood or sheetrock or whatever in the bottom. And you know, it'll take. You know, there's enough room on there for at least a yard of material if you're going to go get gravel or sand or stone or something. But mine is, it has a galvanized frame. The whole frame is made of galvanized metal, so it doesn't rust. The thing's over 10 years old. There's not a stitch of rust on it. And it has nice big wheels on it. You have to look at the size of the wheels. Some trailers have very small wheels. They're, you know, a little more than a foot or 15 inches around. Some have 16 or 17 inch wheels. And you want to get the bigger wheels, the wider wheels, because obviously they're going to turn slower, which is going to be less wear and tear on the bearings, and it's just going to pull better, and most importantly, it's going to probably have a larger carrying capacity, which is important, unless you're trying to pull it with a really, really teeny car, and then you need a really, really light trailer, because you're not going to be able to carry much, but most vehicles can tow 1,000 pounds or more. You know, I think his Subaru probably can tow maybe a couple thousand pounds. He has to look at his book, but a lot of them can. So, you know, you can get a little bit of a bigger trailer. I mean, not a you know, landscape trailer or something like that. But there are all kinds of little trailers that are available. And, you know, shop around, and that's a really great option in lieu of buying a pickup truck. So that's how I'm going to answer that one. And I think it's pretty sound advice for most folks that are just, like I say, just homeowners. Because like I say, I have one, and it's really, really served me well. So moving on to the second question, another gentleman wrote in on the email. He's getting air conditioning put in his house. He lives in like a ranch type house, is what he was saying. And right now he has baseboard hot water heat. So he doesn't have any kind of ductwork in the house right now. But he definitely wants to get air conditioning. He's down in Virginia, and believe it or not, the house doesn't even have air conditioning yet, which I find hard to believe. A house in Virginia would—I guess maybe he had window. Like he probably had window units, but didn't have central. But anyway, he has two options. He can basically put the air conditioner system in the basement, or he can put it up in the attic. And the dealer is kind of pushing him to put it in the attic. Because he says it's the dealer says it's better because it's out of the way and this and that. And he wanted my advice on that. And also he wanted my advice on which one he should buy. And he gave me a couple different models and the prices and stuff. And I'm not going to get into recommending models and things like that. But within some of these choices were some choices on the efficiency. So we'll talk a little bit about that because it is becoming air conditioning season. So the first part of his question, where to put the unit. If I were him and if I could do it, I would rather see the unit in the basement, and for a couple reasons. The main reason is that the attic is like 120 degrees anyway in the summer or hotter. I mean, that's like a cool day. Could be 150 degrees, especially down in Virginia on a really hot summer day with good bright sunlight. I bet you that attic's getting to be 140 to 150 degrees. And putting something in the attic that's supposed to cool your house just defies logic. I mean, it's 150 degrees up there and you're trying to cool your house with it. So the machine that's up there, the air conditioning unit, is going to have to work its little heart out just to cool itself off. And then on top of that, it's going to have to try and cool your house. So it's going to cost more. It's going to take more energy. Those the ductwork up there and the actual air conditioner system itself, it's going to, as it sits there in the hot weather, it's going to heat up. It's just going to happen. And even though the ductwork and the unit itself have some insulation on them, which isn't very good, but it has some insulation on it, it's still going to heat up, especially when it's turned off. And when it's turned on, you're going to lose heat. You're going to lose the coal, you know, through the ducts anyway, because there's always heat, you know, migrating through into those ducts, even with the insulation. So it's just not, it's not very smart from a thermal standpoint. If you have the unit in your basement is basically a cool space to begin with. So that the equipment is not going to be getting heated up, and you're not going to have to pay to cool it back down again to cool your house. And another big thing with it being in the attic, with your ductwork up there, when your air conditioning system's off, those ducts are going to heat up. As soon as you turn the system on, it, you know, all that warm air from those ducts is going to get blown into your room, and it's essentially going to act like a heater for the first minute or so till the air conditioner actually kicks in and starts blowing cold air. So that's kind of a waste. And the other thing is, even when it's just sitting there, the hot air up in the ducts can migrate down through the vents into your room. And in the winter, which isn't a big problem in Virginia, but it would be more up this way, in the winter, the warm air from your room migrates up into the ducts and ends up escaping up into the attic. So you're going to lose cooling efficiency and just lose, like having poor insulation in your room. You're going to lose the heat or the cooling in your room all the time because of those ducts. So I would try and stay away from that unless you had no option. You know, some houses have, you know, they're on a slab or something. You just can't do it. And then you got to do that. But otherwise, if you can put it in the basement, you'd be much better off. The second reason, of course, is that it's much easier to service the unit when it's in the basement. You just walk downstairs and there's the unit, and you go ahead and you service it. If it's in the attic, you got to crawl up in the attic and deal with low clearances and everything else, which kind of makes me wonder, you know, I'm surprised the dealer wants you to put it up there. Because if I was an installer, I'd much rather do it in the basement. Now, maybe this guy's basement has a lot of stuff in the way, too. I don't know. But, isn't as a dealer, especially in Virginia in the summer, I'd much rather be in somebody's basement than in somebody's attic. But then I don't like the heat. So, whatever, each to their own. But that's kind of my take on it. I think, you know, you're going to be more efficient and certainly easier serviceability with the thing being in the basement. Now, the second part of the question on the models and efficiencies and things like that, again, I'm not going to get into the models because, I'm not going to go and recommend one brand or the other. I have American Standard. I've had Trane. I think they're great. But beyond that, I'm not going to really say too much. I don't know. There's other brands, and they're probably really great as well. But he had some question about efficiencies. He's got a couple different options. I would go with the higher efficiency unit. Whatever, you know, as long as the cost isn't too ridiculous. How these guys do this when they come in and they give you estimates is basically they look at your home and they calculate what the BTU load is going to be on the home. So how many BTUs of heat is going to be going to come into that house in a given period of time. And they can calculate that by the size of the home, the R value of the insulation, the type of windows, doors, and things like that. So they'll calculate, you know, the number of BTUs an hour that's going to go into the house as it sits there. So then they size an air conditioner system to be able to handle that heat gain. And, you know, they figure out you need a, you know, 2-ton or a 3-ton or 5-ton or whatever you need. A ton, by the way, is 12,000 BTUs, essentially. So they're saying you want a 2-ton air conditioner, that's 24,000, or 3-ton is a 36,000 BTU air conditioner. That's a rough, you know, equivalent from what I understand. But like our house has a 2.5-ton, so it's 18,000 BTUs to cool the whole house, which is pretty good. It's 30,000 BTUs to cool the whole building, the whole home. Which, you know, if you figure, I could put 3 10s in that house, you know, 10,000 BTU window units, and it would probably do it, but it would probably be pushing it, and it certainly wouldn't be even. So the central is, I think it's a little bit more efficient the way it operates. But you do have to cool the whole house, and if you don't want to cool the whole house, a window unit might make more sense. But anyway, I digress. So they calculate the size of the unit that you need by that heat gain. And then they take that unit, and they figure how many hours, you know, the computer will figure how many hours a year it'll run to keep your house cool, depending on the climate that you're in. Obviously, it'll run more in Virginia than Connecticut, and it'll run more in Texas than it will in Virginia. You know, they just figure that out. It's going to run X number of hours. You know, and, it's, and of course, they know how much power the unit's going to use by the specs, so they can then calculate how much energy the thing's going to use in a given year, X number of kilowatt hours. And then they input the approximate value of the fuel. So in this case, the cost per kilowatt, you know, 10 cents, 12 cents, 8 cents, whatever it is. And then they can calculate over a given year how much it's going to cost to run that particular unit. They can also look at different units. So they can look at, let's say, one that's more efficient. They will type that in, and it will, of course, use less energy and cost less in energy. But, of course, the unit will cost more. And let's say it's going to cost $1,000 more, but you're going to save $125 or $150 a year in electricity. They would probably recommend that you go ahead and do that, because $150 times 10 is $1,500 if it costs $1,000 more for the unit. Over 10 years, you're going to make $500 in profit, essentially. So they would consider that to be probably a good deal, and they would recommend that you go ahead and do that. But if it was going to cost $1,000 a year and you were only going to save $500, they would probably say to not bother, because it's just not going to be worth your while. You're going to be replacing the unit before you ever realize that savings back in your pocket. So basically, it's a waste of money, unless you're, you know, trying to be really green or something like that. And, you know, looking at this guy's questions, I'm pretty sure that his dealer did a similar kind of a analysis for him and recommended a certain unit. And he also got, just because he had listened to this show and he knows I'm an efficiency nut, he did ask about options for more efficient units, and he got the prices and things, and you know, and he gave me those. And I can't do the numbers for him. I mean, I have no way of, I don't have that computer program to do the numbers for him. But the only thing I will give as for advice is, you know, you do what you got to do, but I think you're better off going up a notch or two in efficiency. And the reason for that is, I really don't think that the dealers are taking into consideration the fact that power is going to be a lot more expensive in the future. I'm thinking that within 5 years, you know, electricity might double in the United States. You know, they're talking about all this global warming stuff, you know, and wanting to shut down a lot of gas plants, shutting down a lot of coal plants. Coal provides something like 60% of the power in this country. So if they start shutting those plants down, there's going to be power shortages, or they're going to have to build new plants. And both of those things mean higher prices, usually. Coal is a very cheap source of energy. Dirty, yes, but cheap. So, you know, however you look on the green side of things, as far as environment is concerned, you do have to look at the green side of things as far as the cost, and you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to go up if they start doing that. And also, of course, if they start charging carbon taxes and all that stuff, if that ever happens, which I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. The whole global warming thing seems to have been cooled off here lately, but whether you agree with it or not. But nonetheless, I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. But if it does happen, that's certainly going to impact our fuel, our, you know, electricity prices and fuel prices in general down the road as well. So I think that, you know, with the power getting a lot more expensive in the future, I think that you would be well served to go up a notch or two in efficiency more than you would normally, because I really don't think that those calculations take into effect the rather pessimistic view that I have on energy prices in the future. And I think a lot of my listeners probably would agree that they're only going to get more expensive. So that's kind of my thought on it. I went up. You know, my guy told me to get a 12 SEER, and I ended up getting a 16 SEER, I believe I got. I got like a couple notches up I went, and it cost me a little bit more money, but I'm happy it did. I did that. I feel comfortable that as power gets more and more expensive, I'll be sitting pretty. And right now it's nice that, you know, my power bill in the summer is peaking out at about $125, which, you know, for Connecticut is not bad. That's, you know, especially I got a dehumidifier going in the basement and then all the normal stuff. That's not bad. I know a lot of people that have $200+ electric bills, so I'm happy I did what I did. So that's the best advice I can give you. He asked too about extended warranties. You know, I don't know. I mean, if you get a good unit, you're probably not going to have problems with it unless, you know, you get struck by lightning or something, and that probably is not going to get covered by the warranty anyway. So, you know, I guess if you buy, you know, it's not a horrible thing to get an extended warranty. I mean, if something breaks, they'll fix it for you. But I guess it depends on the cost. If it's, you know, If it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars, I probably wouldn't bother, because you know, even if you have to have a lot of repair, a lot of times the repair is something silly, you know, a control module or something like that. It might not cost that much money anyway. You know, even if it costs $400 or so, $500, if you have to pay that for the warranty, you know, you're not really getting anywhere unless it breaks again. So I generally shy away from those things, but you know, you can some people like them just because they kind of take that mystery away. They'd rather pay a few $100 now and take the mystery of repairs down the road away. If you got a few bucks in the bank and you don't mind having to pay for the repairs, you're probably better off not taking the warranty, because chances are you won't use it anyway, or you won't use it much, because of course there's a warranty on the unit anyway. But if you end up not using it, then that's money that you just keep in the bank, you know, for yourself. And I think if you take care of the unit and don't beat on it and maintain it correctly, it's probably going to function just fine for many, many years. My air now is 2-3 years old, and I've never done a thing to it. It just keeps working. So, you know, that's a perfect example. So that's the answer to those two questions. And I told you it was going to be a relatively short show here in about 20 minutes. So with that, I'm going to sign with you. If you please, if you have any questions, drop me an email, steve@hufpodcast.com. I'd love to try and answer them for you. So with that, I want to thank you for listening to the show. Take care, folks. Have a great day.
Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I got years and years of practice living this life I lead. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. And I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. Ending up like me.
The Homeowner's Friend theme song, Trained Professionals by Billy Bourbon, is available on musicali.com. Check them out.